Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. The El Cajon Boulevard Business Improvement Association is made up of local businesses dedicated to improving the physical and economic conditions along the El Cajon Boulevard corridor, or the Boulevard, as it is aptly known as, in Mid-City San Diego. Joining us this morning is El Cajon Boulevard Business Improvement Association Board President, Tootie, and Marketing and Mobility Coordinator, Beryl Foreman. Welcome, Tootie. Welcome, Beryl.
Thank you. Hello.
Nice to have the both of you on the show this morning. Let's start with a little background information, if we could, on your organization, the El Cajon Boulevard Business Improvement Association, or the Boulevard BIA.
Not El Cajon. We love to be called the Boulevard.
Yeah.
We're in the city of San Diego. We're a business improvement association that stretches along El Cajon Boulevard from Park to 54th Street. That traverses the neighborhoods of North Park, Normal Heights,
University Heights,
City Heights, Kensington, and Talmadge. So we really are center within the city of San Diego.
And what's the mission then of the BIA?
Well, the mission is to bring more economic development, safer streets to those neighborhoods and the boulevard that passes through them.
Supporting a vibrant business community.
And how long has the organization been around, the BIA?
It's 25 or 28 years now.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, our organization is very interesting. The Business Improvement Associations in general, there's about 15, 60 of them in San Diego, was born out of an update to city's community plan to really bring more revitalization to the urban centers. It was during a time in the 70s and 80s when people were really fleeing the urban center, moving out to the suburbs, and there really need to be, you know, a community support system to bring that economic development back to the heart of the city.
And back in the day, El Cajon Boulevard was really vibrant and rich with a lot of life. It was the neon center of definitely San Diego, but maybe even California. It was really awesome. And after the malls were built in Mission Valley, people started to go down there to shop instead of staying up on the boulevard. So we saw a downturn in business and a downturn in activity along the boulevard, and we're back.
How has the boulevard changed over the years?
I would say in the last 5 to 10 years, you're seeing a tremendous amount of new, more locally oriented businesses move in. Places like cafes really do tremendous work in terms of engaging neighbors on both sides of the boulevard. And then we're seeing a build out around those cafes and the formulation of, you know, good clusters of business hubs. So really, like, as you traverse the boulevard from the west end to the east end, you're seeing interesting cultural, you know, diverse neighborhoods along the way.
And also the density, people moving back to the boulevard is a very impressive story that we have to tell also, you know, along with the city's and the state's push for more density to take care of our housing crisis, developers have rallied and they have been building fantastic buildings along El Cajon Boulevard, and we look to see more of that. In addition to that, restaurants like mine moved from Fifth Avenue in Hillcrest to El Cajon Boulevard, where we were sandwiched between two fantastic freeways, the 163 and the 805. So it made getting to us very easy, and my customers love it. And when we first moved on, you know, there were some things that needed to change on the boulevard, and especially at 30th Street, and it has. And we've been a big partner in that, along with the Boulevard BIA, because, you know, it's good for everybody. So cleaning it up and dressing it up has been our motto.
And your restaurant is Lips, right?
Yeah. At Lips, you know, we do an incredible business. We bring tons of limousines to the boulevard, which we haven't seen, I'm sure, for a long time on the boulevard. And, you know, we're happy to be there. It's been a great location.
And you weren't always there, though?
We were on Fifth Avenue for 8 years in the old IBM building. But now we're in the old Carnation ice cream building, and we're still serving up sweets.
Yeah. And how long have you been at that location?
We've been there for 11 years.
11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, for example, Lips moves there. They're an attractive business. The Media Arts Center, an incredible nonprofit that hosts the Latino Film Festival, now moves to El Cajon Boulevard more like 6 years ago, really helps anchor that area. Then within 3 years, we have five breweries that exist right on El Cajon Boulevard and 30th Street.
Two cafes.
That's the reason why business owners want to work more closely together, host events like the recent Sip and Shop events, or for years we've been putting on the Boulevard Market. Really, like, working collectively, that's the formulation of how we get to these vibrant business hubs that, you know, also simultaneously exist right alongside a bus rapid transit station where development's taking place. So it's been a quick evolution, but it really has been a long-term plan.
When I became a member of the board, which we're an all-volunteer board made up of business owners, when I became a member of the board, it was hard for me to understand how, with the budget that we had and the amount of staff that we have in our office, that we were going to address 5 miles, 4.5 miles of business district and 1,000+ businesses. But you could see these centers of business activity happening along the boulevard at 30th Street on the west end where the Lafayette Hotel is, and then further up at the Little Saigon District. And then now we have a new hub that's starting off at Winona and 50th, right in that area, with a lot of very active business owners that are banking on our Talmadge residents to come down and have coffee, do yoga, visit a surf shop on El Cajon Boulevard that's been there for a while. They show surf movies there. It's really awesome.
Wow.
A great bicycle shop, an incredible bakery that started on El Cajon Boulevard, and then now they open up a location in La Jolla. So good things growing on El Cajon Boulevard.
And a lot of the businesses are on El Cajon Boulevard. A lot of them are small mom-and-pop type businesses, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. We have some chains which are very car culture, you know, oriented maybe. But, yes, everything is very mom-and-pop. And that's been one of our goals, is to take these small businesses, especially from like City Heights area. We have an area called the Ferret 44, which was an abandoned lot. Well, it wasn't abandoned. It was littered with a bunch of machinery and equipment for road work, but that was right on the boulevard. And Beryl is a great ideas person, and she saw that lot and said, this would really be a great place for placemaking. We could activate this with sort of a market. We do a boulevard market down on the west end part of it, or the 30 ECB part of it. And we took that lot and made it, with the City Heights CDC, we made it an incubator, so we can bring small businesses in either from the informal economic community and make it something that has a business license and starts to employ people. Or we can take a small business and plant them there and help them to grow till they can have a brick and mortar. So it's been an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, and just speaking of the mom and pop type businesses, you know, I like to think that the mainstream model is that small businesses are a reflection of the community. Mm-hmm. And that really speaks to El Cajon Boulevard traversing through very diverse communities, particularly City Heights, where, you know, it's touted that over 40 languages are spoken. You know, it speaks to why there is a cultural hub for the Vietnamese. You know, it's now designated by the city of San Diego as a Little Saigon district, but it really speaks to the history of Vietnamese people coming here post-Vietnam War, settling in City Heights, somewhat out of need, opening a business. And now between Highland and Euclid, having 70% Vietnamese-owned businesses there, you know, it really is a reflection of the neighborhood.
And it's a similar story with the African community also, Beryl.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a number of African-centric restaurants, retail, grocery stores, all up and down El Cajon Boulevard, too. One time, El Cajon Boulevard was actually touted by a food writer in the Union Tribune, from the Union Tribune, as the foodie Appalachian Trail.
Oh. Okay.
It goes on quite a distance.
Right.
You really can try food, you know, international food, and it speaks to the international community that exists there.
Basic people point out all the time that El Cajon Boulevard doesn't have a grocery store on it. But Beryl really makes the point that we don't need a grocery store on it. We have grocery stores. They just are very culturally oriented. North uh-huh. Park Produce, Pancho Villa, as well as
great Asian food markets with, you know, exceptional selection of fresh seafood. So for anybody who's really into like cooking and understands ethnic food, there's excellent
the
grocery stores
go.
Up
yeah.
and down Oklahoma Boulevard.
Not to mention Grocery Outlet. Have you been yet?
Yeah.
My God, I'm addicted to that place.
Did you look? Were you looking to move?
No, originally we wanted to move to the gas lamp, but there were things about the gas lamp that were unattractive, parking, you know, that kind of stuff. And when we found the building at 3060 El Cajon Boulevard, it had a very large parking lot to it, and that was very attractive, not to mention the size of it, and the kitchen was great. So everything just worked out, and it was a beautiful space right on the street. So it was a good move. Beryl knew me from, I had a cafe downtown called Cafe Noir, and Beryl knew me from that, and she came over and said, hey, you got to join the business association now that you're here. And we went from there, and I'm happy that she did it. I'm happy to have been involved for 8 years and president for four. It's been amazing.
So a lot of changes have been made on the Boulevard over the years, and there are some more changes to come. You've got the Boulevard 2020 plan,
yes,
which you're unveiling next month in January. Tell us about that.
Well, we have been pushing. I mean, Beryl and I, the staff of the El Cajon Boulevard BIA, and also our board, has really been pushing to see changes made. And about a year ago, I think I called Beryl and I said, hey, I like this idea of doing this Boulevard 2020 plan, because it's a play on words. Not only are we coming up on year 2020, but 2020 vision is clear.
I like that, yeah.
And so looking back at our history and then looking forward into the future sort of gives us that 2020 vision. We are looking to unveil the plan in January, and we've been hosting town halls as one feature of a way of collecting, you know, information that we were going to fold into this plan, as well as we've done surveys, we've done studies, street studies, parking studies, all these kinds of things. They're all going to be folded in to this plan that directs us for the next 10 years. We have goals for 1 year out. We have goals for 3 to 5 years out. And then we'll have long-range goals for 10 years, where we would like to be in 10 years.
So you're having workshops with community members, business owners. And what kind of feedback do you get from them as far as the plan?
Both town halls. It really was, I think, next level for our organization to take the opportunity to host a town hall, to really want to gather the feedback of the community as we forge forward in this vision of wanting to become a great example of transit-oriented development. I know that sounds a bit wonky, but as an urban planner, I, you know, couldn't be more grateful that this organization is that progressive to want to take that next level step. And, you know, it's important that we do cede the interests of the community at the same hand. The first town hall was framed around housing. Since so much development is underway, really, what does that all mean to the advancements that need to be made on El Cajon Boulevard? And the second most recent one was around mobility. So the two, talking about housing and transit, really equates to us forging forward on this transit-oriented development vision. Of course, our other committees, like how marketing fits into that and how landscape fits into that, all relates to this grander plan that we're creating. But I would have to say that it was really driven through an economic development focus.
I think Beryl really speaks the language of planners also. And when you talk about TOD, that's you know, something that not a lot of people have experience with. When I got involved with the Boulevard, the third day of my being on the board, there were three board members that were involved in a street study plan from KTUNA. I didn't know anything about streets. I didn't know anything about bulb outs, crosswalks, you know, all of that stuff. I just
traffic calming.
Yeah, pedestrian amenities. What the heck is all that stuff, right?
Really?
But there was something about it that drew me in, and turned out to be a great study. I still refer back to it when we talk about this. But when Beryl talks about TOD, you know, we're addressing the density that is being built on El Cajon Boulevard. We're addressing the business that is flocking to El Cajon Boulevard. We're addressing the climate action plan that the city wants to fulfill. There's other parts.
Safety. We know El Cajon Boulevard has very high speeds. It's very wide. It's one of the widest streets in San Diego. How do we come around to making it a better business climate, a better place to live? You know, we're addressing urban living and localized business all in this plan.
You mentioned TOD. What's TOD?
It is transit-oriented development, and okay. It's also Todd Gloria. I don't want to. Yeah. He would be mad at me if I didn't mention that TOD is Todd
Gloria. Yeah, he's a real proponent of TOD. Yeah. It works out. But back to your question. So El Cajon Boulevard is zoned for high density. It is in the center of the city. It's along a bus rapid transit line. So and business is, you know, sort of better than ever than it's been in decades. So it just aligns us to be a great place for developers to capitalize on development. So it was just reiterated at that first town hall around housing that it makes sense that it, you know, density and development happens along El Cajon Boulevard. So people were in favor of seeing that. And then to match that, you know, in order to prescribe better living with along a business corridor, we really want people to come around to you know, living somewhat of a car-free lifestyle. So mm-hmm. What would engage them to get on the bus and walk around the neighborhood and really see El Cajon Boulevard as their home?
And transit is also an equalizer. You know, we pass through many different neighborhoods. They barrel named six of them. And they all have their own economic status to them. And yet, the bus is egalitarian. Everybody gets on the bus. Everybody right. gets off the bus. It's the same thing. And it makes it easy. We're seeing the same thing with bicycles and scooters, you know, that people who come from City Heights can jump on a scooter and connect with the 235 bus route, which is a rapid bus route that runs up the I-15, and they could get downtown or they could get to Sereno Valley if they work in tech, you know. So it's very it's a way to open up freedom for everybody to get to their jobs, basically.
And the 2020 plan is a 10-year venture then?
It's a 10-year. That's our 10-year goal is the furthest we're going out. I mean, things are changing so fast, not just on El Cajon Boulevard, but just in our everyday lives. Things are changing so fast. 10 years ago, did we think that our cell phone was going to be the computer that we used for everything?
True.
No, we didn't think that. So let's plan for 10 years out as our far-reaching goal. And in between, let's set milestones of things that we'd like to get done.
You mentioned earlier the Little Saigon District, the city-designated Little Saigon District. Tell us a little bit more about that.
It exists from Highland to Euclid. That's right around Hoover High School, for anybody who knows San Diego well. And between those five blocks, it's 70% Vietnamese-owned businesses. As I mentioned, it really does speak to the history of refugees coming from Vietnam, settling in City Heights, a place that, you know, is a welcoming community to people from all over the world with a lot of nonprofits that really can help serve the settlement of these refugees. And with that, it's, you know, a really vibrant Vietnamese-focused community. It was actually brought to our attention by an organization called the Little Saigon Foundation, who we work in partnership with, that we have this real cultural asset along the El Cajon Boulevard. So our organization, realizing, of course, we should honor that. It also fits into our hub strategy, seeing, you know, unique clusters of business along our corridor and how we could help give it the look and feel and really make it a place worthy of, a tourist destination.
And you have a mobile museum project you're working on there as well?
So, you know, over the years, we've contemplated different ways of approaching how we're going to transform it. You know, it already has the bones and obviously the people and the business that legitimize this cultural district. But the streetscape, you know, leaves a lot to be desired. So ultimately, we really need to transform it and make it a destination that has this look and feel. And the mobile museum that you mentioned actually came through a National Endowment of the Arts grant. So I feel like as we continue to forge forward, build great relationships, really get a grounding of what it is, this is all about, I took the opportunity to reach out to both the Media Arts Center in Asia, asked them how they felt about this proposal to really capture the stories of Vietnamese settlement and how, you know, the district came about. And so we did get the funding, over $100,000 from the National Endowment of the Arts, and we're about to unveil that actually this coming year. So I really do believe that 2019 is going to be a great showcase for the Vietnamese community here in San Diego.
The Boulevard has always been an arts corridor ever since Beryl's been there. We've really tried to further the arts through murals and painting of the electrical boxes and trash cans and those kinds of things. We have a lot of music events that go on. But in the Little Saigon district, last year we had a goal of putting up some murals to help inspire and to help brand what that area was about. Through color and art, you can really get people to think beyond their everyday existence of whether it's pho or just using the boulevard as a means of getting to the next freeway to, you know, get to where you're going. So yeah, we've always been an arts corridor, and I think
that's
Darryl's
really one of the
job.
Most you know, recent things, that there's a lot of great things to tout about El Cajon Boulevard because we're putting on so much activity and transforming it in terms of its streetscape through art or events or, you know, food markets. And really, I think the marriage of like urban planning, marketing, and public art have really come together on the boulevard in the way that we're a premier place for the term placemaking, which is about transforming public space into like a gathering space. You know, it does involve public art, but it's also very much about having proper benches and, you know, food and all the things that make you want to stay in a certain place. So we will be unveiling what we're now calling Little Saigon Stories at a new gathering space, actually 2 years old, on El Cajon Boulevard called Ferret 44. We transformed a lot that's been vacant for 10 plus years. It's right next to the brand new YMCA. The Dojo Cafe is there, so it's open daily. We're putting on all sorts of events on a weekly basis. We've actually launched a program called Street Food Friday for the last 6 months, and very happy that the unveiling of Little Saigon Stories will be happening the third week in January at Street Food Friday. So it's a real coming together of various programs and partnerships. I really think that's a key to success in terms of working at a nonprofit, doing placemaking, and all in all, being part of the community.
And we have dancing there at the Fair at 44, Salsa Sabados, which will start up in the spring, I think, again.
And Street Food Fridays, is this with the local businesses, or do you have food trucks coming in? What's going on with Street
Food
Fridays?
Well, we do try and encourage new business. You know, we would like people to move their tamale-making business from their house to something more stable and substantial where they can employ people and really make something of it. So we look to those kinds of things. Are we opposed to having food trucks there? No, but that's really, we do a little pop-up tents and it becomes like a foodie market.
Idea of Fair 44 is both, it's a gathering place because we want people from all over San Diego to come to El Cajon Boulevard, but really seeing people from both sides of the street, City Heights, Kensington, Talmadge come together, you know. That's really about the equalizer that Sudi was talking about, really being a bridge, not a barrier. And but it's also a launching pad for businesses. So this Dojo Cafe got off the ground there. My friend Casey owns a plant shop. She's also a landscape architect who has a shop there. So it's a showcase of the businesses that we've helped start at Ferret 44, as well as just creating, yeah, more of a food scene at this particular launch of the Little Saigon Stories. There will certainly be more, you know, Vietnamese, Southeast Asian food that exists there, a celebration of the neighborhood.
And I think it's a great way to introduce people who are not familiar with that area, yes, the boulevard, a great way to introduce them to what you've got there.
Sure, yeah. And as you drive by it, all you see is color, you see lights, and you want to be a part of that. And I've got two great stories that stem from the Ferret 44 also. One of them is a vendor that was there for our original foodie market that we were doing there. Her name was Mireya, and she came from somewhere in Mexico. She was a woman with two kids, I think, maybe three, and they were, she was being abused by her husband when she went to the authorities in the town that she lived in Mexico. Then the police started to beat on her also, so she left there. And this was her first endeavor in order to help fund taking care of her kids here in the United States was at the fair at 44.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. You know, when you can see that kind of a thing, that she got off to a good start because of something that we did, that's beautiful. And then also Lily, who now has a space on El Cajon Boulevard. That's a beautiful space. She is African, and she does beautiful African fashions, and she teaches other women how to sew so they can do their own. And that is done as a nonprofit sort of thing. It's really amazing. So,
well, we are unfortunately out of time, but I do want to ask you, how can people help you with your mission? How can people help you with the, or get involved with the 2020 plan?
We have meetings every week at our office, which is at 3727 El Cajon Boulevard. We have meetings for all the things that we do every Wednesday. So if you're available, if you're a part of our business community on the Boulevard or a neighbor and you'd like to stop by, we would love to have you. We also have a newsletter and a great website, theboulevard.org.
We're on Facebook, Instagram, El Cajon Boulevard spelled out.
There's many ways
of getting in touch with us, you know, becoming more familiar with our businesses. Come join us at our events. Get to know Tootie and I.
All right.
And let's get involved.
I've got to get down to the Boulevard.
Yes, you do.
You know, I haven't been there in a while or really checked it out that much lately, so I need to get down there and see what's going on.
Yeah, and come check us out at Lips, too.
Sounds great. Well, awesome. Tootie and Beryl, thank you so much for being on the show today. Thank you for all you're doing in the community. It's appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Until next time, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.